Mr. Joe Doyle, who's on our Dude Maker hotline. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
I am well. I'm very well. How are you? You sound good.
Good, good. I'm delighted to be here, as always.
You want to comment on that just a little bit about Massachusetts' role in creating some of these public school systems and rules that we have today?
Public education really began, government education really began in Massachusetts. They funded, we originally had a religious establishment here, a congregational religious establishment that was funded by the taxpayers, and the common schools were run by the congregational ministers. And that continued until 1833, more than 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. And then because of the rise of Catholic immigrants and because of the desire to Anglicize them and Protestantize them, we had the beginning of a secular government education. And Horace Mann, who was the president of the Massachusetts State Senate and the first president of the Massachusetts State Board of Education, was the one who viewed government education as a way to essentially assimilate not just socially but culturally, intellectually, immigrants into an American system. And remember what Hillary Belloc's famous remark was, that modern democracies don't need a secret police force. They have something better. They have something called public schools. And of course, the government education system was always hostile to religious education, was always hostile to parental rights. And so the whole notion of the government essentially forming and indoctrinating and assimilating and inculturating your children really comes from Massachusetts. And there's a statue in front of the State House on Beacon Hill in Boston for Horace Mann, who really is kind of the inventor of the modern secular government education system.
You see, I told you people that all roads always lead back to something either for the faith or against the faith, one of the two. And public education, as Joe just pointed out, leads back to that road. Joe, you got to you're a busy man this week. Next November the 12th, which is next Tuesday, I guess, an annual rosary that you commemoration rosary that is, I guess, hosted by the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts. Tell us about that.
Well, it's next we have it on the Saturday. The 12th is the anniversary of the death of Boston Mayor and Massachusetts Governor and Congressman James Michael Curley. And once a year, we have an annual commemoration for Mayor Curley, and it's on the Saturday before the anniversary of his death. So it'll be next Saturday, November the 9th, and that will be at 12 noon at Old Calvary Cemetery in the Rosendale District of Boston, where he's buried. And we say an annual rosary to commemorate Boston Mayor Curley, who, again, was one of the really great Catholic and populist political leaders in Massachusetts and in New England and the United States. We also also take the opportunity to remember in the rosary all of our deceased members over the years who were members of the Catholic Action League and our predecessor organization, which was the Massachusetts chapter of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. So we invite all of our members to come, and anybody who wants to honor Mayor Curley or pray, you know, November is the month of the Holy Souls, where we pray for the repose of the souls of the faithful departed. So whoever wants to pray for their, you know, family members who were with us with the Catholic Action League for many years, and also wants to commemorate Boston Mayor Curley, who was famously known as the Mayor of the Poor, and who was a marvelously faithful and orthodox Catholic, but was also deeply committed to social justice, not in the socialist sense, not in the modern progressivist sense, but in the historically Catholic sense. Curley, by the way, was an early proponent of what we would now call universal health care, but not through a large government bureaucracy. What he simply did was he made Boston City Hospital a premier institution in the city, and he made it essentially free for everyone that was indigent. So there was not some kind of vast single player, bureaucratic, socialistic you know, healthcare system. He created institutions for really excellent healthcare, and he made them freely available to the poor of the city. So it was this was somebody that, and this was at a time, by the way, you know, early in the 20th century when we did not have the same levels of public hygiene and public health that we had today, and there were really palpable differences you saw with Curley in terms of infant and childhood mortality and the prevalence of previously communicable diseases. He just did marvelous work. He also was kind of Boston's master builder. Charles Trout, who was the professor at Harvard University, who is the kind of the dean of American urban historians, famously said of Curley that as a builder, as a constructor of monumental public works, he compared favorably to Caesar Augustus.
Wow.
So he was a great man and a very faithful Catholic. And by the way, you know, we had a real scandal here in the 1960s when Cardinal Cushing was Archbishop of Boston. You know, Cardinal Cushing, you remember, was some people viewed him as kind of the chaplain to the Kennedy family. And he went along with the legalization, actually supported the legalization of contraception. In 1966, you had the Archdiocese of Boston made a deal with Planned Parenthood. It's all been exposed by the research of a Boston College graduate student recently. And the Archdiocese of Boston essentially endorsed the legalization of birth control. And it was not the Kennedys, but it was Cardinal Cushing who began that infamous phrase that we can't impose, quote-unquote, our religion on others. Now, contrast that with Mayor Curley, who in 1948, this is 25 years before Roe versus Wade, there was a birth control legalization referendum in Massachusetts, which lost, by the way, because of the Democratic Party opposed contraception and the Republican Party was in favor of birth control. And Curley famously said in 1948 that the legalization of birth control would inevitably lead to child murder, meaning abortion. So the mayor of Boston saw 25 years before Roe versus Wade that the legalization of contraception would lead to the legalization of abortion, something which escaped, by the way, the Archdiocese of Boston in 1966, just 7 years before Roe versus Wade.
That's incredible, just the history there. If you're if you live in the state, the People's Commonwealth of Massachusetts, or maybe some of you live in in Boston where Joe lives. It just serves as a reminder that once upon a time, the city of Boston really was an Irish-Italian, very Catholic city that produced a lot of some decent politicians. Joe notes here in his press release that Michael Curley was not only the Boston mayor, the mayor of Boston, he was also the governor of the state of Massachusetts. Joe, is there a book? Did anyone write a biography of Michael Curley?
Well, he wrote, James Michael Curley, he had his own autobiography called I'd Do It Again.
Oh.
But and there was also a book by a Patrick Deneen about him called The Purple Shamrock. And, of course, he's most famously remembered for a work of fiction about him, The Last Hurrah, Edwin O'Connor's Last Hurrah, which was made into a movie with Spencer Tracy. And of the same name, The Last Hurrah. So The Last Hurrah is a very, very good book. Former Senate President Bill Bulger, who was also became the president of the University of Massachusetts, also has done a book on James Michael Curley. So there were a few good books. Unfortunately, the one that everyone cites now is a book by a left-wing liberal who a fellow named Beattie, who wrote this horrible book, The Rascal King, which mostly used hostile newspaper accounts about Curley. And that's the one, of course, the liberals refer to. But The Last Hurrah is the one that kind of immortalized him. This work of fiction, and as I said, Patrick Deneen's book, The Purple Shamrock, Bill Bulger's book on Curley, and of course Curley's own autobiography, I Do It Again, I think are all books that ought to be recommended.
And I'm noticing that on the list of people that are to be prayed for at this rosary rally or rosary for the Holy Souls, there's a lot of honorables on here, Joe. I assume that means there is not just judges, elected office. Like it begins with Honorable Angelo Berlandi. So there's a lot of honorables on here. So there are a lot of. Go ahead.
Well, we had our founders included the former governor of the Commonwealth, Edward J. King, who again was an outstanding Catholic. He was a daily communicant. He was a Democrat, and he was the last pro-life governor. So people have kind of stereotypes of Massachusetts, but the last authentically pro-life and integrally Catholic governor was a Democrat, Edward J. King. And the mayor of Boston is on there also, who again, a pro-life Democrat, Honorable John F. Collins. And my old master, State Representative James Craven, who was the chairman of the Democratic Party in Boston, not the Republican Party. He was the chairman of the Democratic City Committee. And he was the real kind of one of the real authors of the Doyle-Flynn bill, which had outlawed the public funding of abortion. So we have a number. We had, Honorable Joseph R. Nolan, who was the Associate Justice, who was one of our, also on our board, was the Associate Justice of the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. And he was the only dissenting voice in the ruling that ruled against the organizers of the St. Patrick's Day parade over the issue of homosexuals being forced into the parade under their own banners. And he was vindicated, Joe Nolan, by a 9-0 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Hurley versus Glib. So we have our board included, a former governor, a former mayor, a former associate justice of the state Supreme Court, and many former legislators, including, as I said, Jim Craven. Angelo Berlandi was a former Massachusetts state representative, and so we were privileged again. This was Boston was a great, think of all the great, we think of the Massachusetts now, we think of the Kennedys and Tip O'Neill.
Sure.
And so many other people who have apostatized essentially from the faith, but Boston produced James Michael Curley. It produced U.S. House Speaker John W. McCormick, who was again probably the most loyal Catholic ever to hold really high office in on the federal level. And it also produced Governor King, Congresswoman Louise Day Hicks, Mayor Collins, Representative Jim Craven, Suffolk County District Attorney Garrett Byrne, the fellow that prosecuted the famous Brinks case in 1956, and also prosecuted the infamous abortionist Kenneth Edelin years later. So you really had some outstanding, probably some of the most outstanding Catholic political leaders coming out of Boston when Boston was a Catholic city. But of course, that was all, they were pre-conciliar, I'm afraid, Mike, so in their formation.
Right, well.
But, now we have, We have apostates essentially who are nominally Catholic.
Now, Joe Doyle is the president of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts on the Do Maker Hotline with us. Joe, now let's compare and contrast that to today. Now, this is just an abomination. When I got your release last night, I was reading it going like, okay, I have to call. I got to ask Joe if he can come on and talk about this. Because I want to share with you something that happened to me, and then we'll talk about Marty Walsh at this Knights of Columbus Hall. This past May, myself, Joseph Pierce, Dr. G.C. Dilsaver, and Brother Andre Marie, all practicing faithful Catholics, who are can all get letters of suitability from our pastors at our respective parishes. Well, I don't know about Brother Andre anymore. I can get one, Joseph can get one, and G.C. can get one. We're going to have a conference at, called the Chivalry Conference. We had it in Middletown, New Jersey, and we had it at the Knights of Columbus Hall. And before we could, and one of the knights had asked the council. The council said yes, and they said they even donated the space to us, so we didn't have to rent a hall, right? The bishop of that in Connecticut wasn't even in that diocese was contacted by this radical nutbag Simca Fisher, who basically got the bishop to demand that the bishop, the ordinary over that particular night at Columbus Hall, not allow us to use the hall because Brother Andre was going to be there, a rabid anti-Semite, as Miss Fisher slanderously and libelously calls our dear friend, Brother Andre Marie. And so we were prevented from having a mass, couldn't have a mass, and we were prevented from using the word Catholic in anything that we published anywhere. But the bishop did not force us to move the hall. Now, this was a gathering of faithful, pro-life Catholics who take the faith and take their pro-life commitments and their commitments to their families, being chivalrous, seriously, and wanted to get together and talk about how we can do a better job as men, as fathers. And we were almost torpedoed out of a Knights of Columbus Hall. You have this abomination happening in Charlestown involving Mayor Marty Walsh. So I just wanted to just compare what happened to us and then tell us what Marty Walsh and the Knights of Columbus in Charlestown are going to do.
Well, this Wednesday, November the 6th, there's going to be a so-called community event, meaning a political event, meaning a political rally, complete with a suggested $20 campaign contribution in Charlestown that's being organized by the Mayor Marty Walsh campaign. And the gathering is going to be held at the Charlestown Council number 62 of the Massachusetts State Knights of Columbus. And this is one of the largest and oldest Knights of Columbus councils in Boston, the Charlestown Council. Knights of Columbus, as you know, is a Catholic fraternal order, the largest Catholic fraternal order in the United States. It professes loyalty to the magisterium, and it professes support for the right to life. And in 2017, at their Supreme Convention, they passed something called a Building a Culture of Life resolution, which said, quote, we reaffirm our longstanding policies of not inviting to any Knights of Columbus event persons, especially public officials or candidates for public office, who do not support the legal protection of unborn children or who advocate for the legalization of assisted suicide and euthanasia. And we also prohibit such persons, and this is the important part, we prohibit such persons from renting or otherwise using facilities over which our members have control, or speaking at Knights of Columbus events, or bestowing upon them any of the honors or privileges of the order. But so even if it's not a Knights of Columbus sponsored event, they cannot rent or use the facilities of the Knights of Columbus. And of course, this is the crux of the matter here. The Walsh campaign has apparently rented the Charlestown Knights of Columbus Hall, and Marty Walsh, who was the current mayor of Boston, was the 2016 Men for Choice Award recipient from NARAL, Pro-Choice Massachusetts. He's also promised to make Boston a sanctuary city for abortion should Roe versus Wade be overturned. In June of last year, he named a square, Worcester Square, in the city's south end after the infamous abortionist Kenneth Edlin, who I mentioned a minute ago in reference to Garrett Byrne. Edlin was known, his horrific nickname was the Boston Strangler, because it was a case, again, of a child surviving a botched abortion who he strangled on the table. Now, he was convicted of murder at the time, but it was overturned later by the Supreme Judicial Court. And this guy just had a square named after him, Kenneth Edlin Square, in the South End, near, by the way, City Hospital. And then in October of 2017, when he was running for re-election, Walsh said, I'm, quote unquote, I'm proud to receive the first ever mayoral endorsement from the Planned Parenthood Advocacy Fund of Massachusetts. Walsh has been a defender of Planned Parenthood and someone who is, has defended the continued public funding of Planned Parenthood. And just last month, the beginning of October, Walsh led a rally of Massachusetts mayors in front of the State House to promote the Radical Roe Act, which would codify Roe versus Wade in Massachusetts law and go much farther beyond that and essentially allow infanticide, allow repeal the provisions of the existing law, which requires physicians to protect the life of an unborn child who survives an abortion. So, you know, Walsh, whether out of conviction or expediency, Walsh is by any objective definition a pro-abortion extremist.
Yep.
And this pro-abortion extremist is having a campaign event, again, with a suggested $20 campaign contribution at the Knights of Columbus. So, you know, allowing a pro-abortion extremist like Walsh to use the facilities of a Catholic organization is really a sacrilegious insult to the author of life, and it's also a grave scandal, and it's a treacherous betrayal of the innocent unborn and all of those faithful Catholics and others who are struggling to protect them. And in this case, it's also a flagrant violation of the Knights of Columbus's own stated principles. So what we're urging people to do, Mike, is to contact immediately the Massachusetts State Council of the Knights of Columbus and demand that they stop this outrage by insisting that the Charlestown Knights cancel their contract with the Walsh campaign. And if I can give out an email and a number, I'd urge people to contact the State Council. You can reach them at state.office, that's STAT.office, OFFICE, at masskfc.org. That's masskofc.org. That's state.office@masskfc.org. Or you can also reach them by telephone at 781-551-0628. That's 781-551-0628. And just demand that they stop this outrageous event. We are the Charlestown Knights are providing a facility for this pro-abortion extremist near Marty Walsh. And by the way, they, despite this building the culture of life resolution, the Knights of Columbus in Massachusetts have a long and rather tawdry history of this. This is not the first time something like this has happened in the Charlestown Knights. They had former homosexual state senator Jared Barrios have an event there. Congresswoman Catherine Clark, who is again another pro-abortion fanatic, had her campaign rally at the Melrose Knights of Columbus. So this this building culture of life resolution, very laudable, is very unevenly enforced, at least in Massachusetts. But again, we urge people to contact the Massachusetts State Council at the Knights of Columbus, and they have the authority to put a stop to this. And again, you can reach them at state.office@masskfc.org or by telephone at 781-551-0628.
Now, I am a Knight of Columbus, Third Order. I never did the Fourth Order. I just, I guess I kind of stopped going to meetings, if you will. But I was told at the time of my Third Order that, or my third level, rather, third degree, I was told that my ordination, if you will, or membership was for life, and that I had all the rights and privileges of a Knight of Columbus. Now, again, I was almost prevented from using a Knight of Columbus Hall in Middletown, New Jersey, not for anything that we had doctrinally done. Nothing. Certainly nothing as offensive and outrageous as this. I mean, every person out there that's listening to this and that we can get the word out to that is a Knight of Columbus, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to send a letter to this guy, to this state.office at masskfc.org, and I'm going to demand as a member of the Knights of Columbus in good standing, I'm going to demand that they rescind this invitation. And I think every person that has a conscience out there that is a member of the Knights of Columbus ought to do the same thing, Joe.
Well, just understand, I don't think it's an invitation, Mike. They're not inviting Walsh to a KSC event. They're renting their hall to Walsh for a campaign event, which is arguably even worse. But again, they're building culture of life resolution, and their own longstanding policies prohibit them from renting facilities to pro-abortion politicians. And this is exactly what they're doing in this case. And it's outrageous. Again, you know, why should anyone take seriously Catholic opposition to abortion when America's largest Catholic organization is providing facilities to a pro-abortion fanatic, a pro-abortion extremist like Marty Walsh?
No, I concur. So just to be clear then, gentlemen, they're renting the hall, which, as Joe points out, might actually be worse than inviting him in to speak, if you will, because I imagine you can rent a Knight of Columbus hall for $100. You paid a cleanup fee, basically. You paid a janitor, basically.
Yeah, if you go to our website, well, actually, if you go to the email, actually, I don't know if it's posted yet, but the email that the Facebook posting that they had put out was, it actually shows Mayor Walsh's picture asking for a $20 donation, and right under it is right next to it is the words Knights of Columbus, 545 Medford Street, Charlestown. So it's they rented the hall for it looks like for a campaign event.
It's interesting to note here, or it is pertinent to the subject matter here with Joe Doyle, who's the president of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts, that When you hear Joe on this radio show and you hear Joe and I talking about something that's actionable, the Catholic Action League springs into action here. You were actually successful in starting the campaign and the pushback against the merger of the last standing Catholic hospital in New Hampshire with this secular organization that is going to turn it into a horror show and remove from any Catholic that's in New Hampshire the last place that they could actually get Catholic health care and could rest assured that there weren't abortions and sex change operations going on and vasectomies going on inside the facility. So don't think that your action here on this, folks, does not go towards actually thwarting this. Because people do listen, you know, when they get opposed en masse, right?
Right. Well, and again, I encourage you, you know, we had a case a few years ago in 2015 where all the Catholic groups had withdrawn from the Boston St. Patrick's Day parade because the homosexual groups, you know, marching under their own banners were let in. And this parade in honor of a Catholic saint was being used to essentially mainstream sodomy. And the Knights of Columbus in Massachusetts unfathomably, inexplicably decided with all the Catholic groups withdrawing, they would actually enter the parade for the first time and march in the same line of march as these militant homosexuals. And it was public outrage directed again at the Massachusetts State Council that caused them to reverse that decision. So we have seen before that the outrage of aggrieved and offended Catholics made a real significant difference in causing the Knights of Columbus to reverse this horribly and improvident decision to join the parade just as the Catholic groups were boycotting it. So again, you know, people should contact the Massachusetts State Council, the Knights of Columbus, and tell them what an outrageous decision it is, what a scandalous decision it is to rent a facility to somebody who is such an extremist in terms of his hostility to the right to life of the unborn. And again, you can reach the Massachusetts State Council by email at state.office@masskfc.org, state.office@masskfc.org, or by telephone at 781-551-0628, 781-551-0628, and urge them to demand that the Charlestown Knights cancel their contract with the Marty Walsh campaign.
Very simple, folks. So there you have it. Now, we're not finished. So there's one more outrage. There's another Catholic Action League note that you sent out last week. And this one involves someone who is a deacon at one of the churches in Boston who is... why don't you explain? Because I don't remember the gentleman's name, but I think his wife is running for an office, right?
Well, it's in the city of Worcester, which is the second largest city in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and which is a separate diocese from Boston. It's the Diocese of Worcester,
okay.
And the bishop there is Robert McManus, who has a reputation of being more orthodox and more pro-life than the rest of the Massachusetts hierarchy. And in Worcester, you know, this Tuesday, tomorrow, on November 5th, we have municipal elections in Massachusetts, and a former three-term member of the Worcester School Committee, a woman named Tracy O'Connell Novick, is seeking to regain her seat as an elected member of the school committee. Now, O'Connell Novick is a proponent of sex education in the public schools. She's been endorsed by the Planned Parenthood Advocacy Fund of Massachusetts. She's an award recipient from the Central Massachusetts branch of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. Now, nominally Catholic politicians abandoning Christian morality and repudiating Catholic beliefs to serve the interest of Planned Parenthood is neither surprising nor exceptional, sadly, in Massachusetts today. Disgracefully, they've become the norm. What makes this case different is the identity of her husband. Her husband is Colin Novick, who is the executive director of the Greater Worcester Land Trust, but he's also the permanent deacon assigned to the cathedral in Worcester, assigned to St. Paul's Cathedral in Worcester, which means as a deacon at the cathedral, he stands next to his duties, including insisting that the bishop of Worcester on the altar of the cathedral during Mass. So this is, and by the way, you know, a permanent deacon is not some kind of part-time lay worker. He's an ordained member of the Catholic clergy who's received the sacrament of holy orders. The diaconate is a major order. So this is somebody, again, who was a Catholic cleric. And this is, again, a grave scandal, and it sends a message that his wife running as a Planned Parenthood endorsee, you know, sends a message of confusion to the Catholic community regarding the commitment of the clergy in the Diocese of Worcester to the moral teachings of the Catholic faith. It also really conveys to secular society that the impression the church is not serious in upholding, even its own institutions, the principles which it professes to believe. And of course, it's also this is the, there's also a troubling suggestion here, which is to Catholics and non-Catholics alike, that dissent from Catholic teaching is, you know, under certain circumstances at least, expedient and permissible and respectable. But we should also point out that this is also a really compelling example and a forceful argument about how improvident it would be for the Church to discard the apostolic tradition of clerical and priestly celibacy. This is one of the problems we have. Saint Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, exhorts, you know, let deacons be the husbands of one wife who rule well their children and their own houses, That does not seem to be the case when you have a deacon's wife running as an endorsee of Planned Parenthood. So, you know, a bishop must also rule well his diocese, and we Bishop McManus of Worcester needs to address this outrage, and people should contact Bishop McManus and urge him to clarify both the status of Deacon Novak and the position of the Diocese of Worcester on Catholics who collaborate with the culture of death. So we're urging people to contact the Worcester Chancery, and their number is 508-791-7171. That's 508-791-7171, and demand that he clarify what is going on here with the Bishop McManus and with Deacon Novick and his wife running as a Planned Parenthood supporter. You can also reach the diocese by email. The Vicar General is Father Richard Reedy, and you can reach him at rreedy, that's R-R-E-I-D-Y, R-R-E-Y-D-Y, at worcesterdiocese.org. That's R-R-E-I-D-Y, worcesterdiocese.org. And you can reach the bishop directly through his secretary, and his email is a little longer, but I'll read it anyways. It's L-P-I-T-R-O. W-I-C-Z. Let me repeat that. That's L-P-I-T-R-O-W-I-C-Z at worcesterdiocese.org. And that's the bishop's secretary. So we urge people to contact the Diocese of Worcester and just respond to this outrage where the permanent deacon of Worcester's Cathedral his wife is running as an endorsee of Planned Parenthood and the ACLU.
Well, and folks, you have to go to spelling class here on this, because when Joe Doyle says Worcester, anyone that's outside of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is going to spell it Worcester. So it's W-O-R-C-S-T-E-R. Well, it looks like it says Worcester, but it's Worcester. Anyone that lives there.
Bear in mind, Massachusetts was settled by people from London, the home counties in East Anglia, which meant we do speak the Queen's English, despite people, in places like New York telling us that we have the wrong accent. But it is. I'm glad you did mention that, though, Mike. Worcester is W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R. So it's in the case of Reedy, it's R-R-I-E-R. Pardon me, let me start again. R-R-E-I-D-Y at Worcester, which is W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R, diocese.org.
There you go. All right, Joe, thanks for all the info and for the history lesson and for cluing us in about Mayor and Governor James Michael Curley. I know Patrick Deneen. I didn't know he'd written this book called Purple Shamrock. I'm going to ask him for an interview about it.
This Patrick Deneen died in the 1950s, so I don't think you probably know him now.
Okay. But, different
this
Patrick
is,
Deneen.
This is another Patrick Deneen.
Okay.
Curley was again a great and very faithful Catholic and a great populist, and he was despised by the media, and he was despised by the establishment, and he was despised by the leadership of both political parties. So there are parallels, you might say, to modern times there.
All right. As always, Joe, a pleasure. I'll make sure you get an MP3 copy of this one later on this morning, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. It's always good to talk to you, and thanks for getting the word out.
You're very welcome. And, of course, folks, you know, you can always go to the Catholic Action League website. It's CatholicActionLeague.org?
Right.
CatholicActionLeague.org.
.org.
Yes, is the website. Okay, Joe, thank you, and God bless. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck.